A baseline for future performance and creating a measuring stick on which to base accountability. It would have been very easy for me, Paul said, to sit back and supervise the program from afar, but to earn the trust and respect of all the parties involved, I had to establish a sense of trust through my work ethic. Because Paul was clear about his values, he found it relatively easy to talk about them and subsequently to use them in setting standards and expectations. The tone Paul set at the beginning provided guidelines for how his constituents would then act and make decisions. As Paul's experience illustrates, values are guides. They supply you with a compass by which to navigate the course of your daily life. Clarity of values is essential to knowing which way is north, south, east, and west. The clearer you are about your values, the easier it is for you and for everyone else to commit to the chosen path and stay on it. This kind of guidance is especially important in volatile and uncertain times. When there are daily challenges that can throw you off course, it's crucial that you have some methods to tell which way the wind is blowing. Say it in your own words. People can only speak the truth when speaking in their true voice. If you only mimic what others are saying, no one can make a commitment to you because they don't know who you are and what you believe in. Raymond Yu found this out the hard way when he was, in his words, demoted from his management position because of a reorganization, which both frustrated him and lowered his self-esteem. "I never found my voice," he explained. With the benefit of time and reflection, Raymond realized that he had walked down the wrong path. "I had only been managing and not leading," he told us. Raymond had used his manager as a role model, with unintended consequences. "Rather than finding my own voice, I parroted his and often used his name and authority to move projects along. In hindsight, I gave up my opportunities to lead by simply being a conduit for him." Appreciating that he didn't need to be in a management position to lead, Raymond vowed from then on to find my voice based on my personal values so that I could become an exemplary leader. The techniques and tools that fill the pages of management and leadership books, including this one, are not substitutes for knowing what matters to you. Once you have the words you want to say, you must also give voice to those words. You must be able to express your voice so that everyone knows that you are the one who's speaking, and not someone else. You'll find a lot of science and empirical data in this book to support how important each of the five practices of exemplary leadership is. However, keep in mind that leadership is also an art, and just as with any other art form, whether it's painting, playing music, dancing, acting, or writing, leadership is a means of personal expression. To become an exemplary leader, you have to learn to express yourself in ways that are uniquely your own. Andrew Levine found a way to express his individual voice, and in so doing helped his colleagues to be able to do the same. Andrew was the head mentor at Young Storytellers. Andrew is passionate about providing a classroom atmosphere that pushes the imaginations of the kids they mentor, and he cares deeply for all the volunteers. One of those volunteers, Pranav Sharma, told us that Andrew's personal values fit comfortably with the values articulated within Young Storytellers' mission statement, and explained how this congruence influenced him. Andrew had a unique voice among the mentors. "His example led me to exhibit values he shared with the organization. He helped me understand what it meant to the kids to have a unique voice." Pranav was paired with a fifth grader named Rachel and was tasked to guide her to write an original story in a 10-page screenplay format. But he was having trouble getting Rachel to focus on her story. While other mentors were making progress on their kids' stories, Pranav felt that Rachel was not very motivated. The fact that Pranav had been absent a couple of times over the 8-week program because of workplace demands didn't help the situation. Andrew was noticeably frustrated with Pranav and a few other mentors' seeming lack of interest in the program. Andrew took two steps to remedy the situation. First, he asked them to think about why they had joined Young Storytellers, and he talked about why he was loyal to the program. He asked them to leave the program if they were not making Young Storytellers a priority, which future absences would make apparent. Second, he asked them to look at the program through the perspective of the fifth grader. What are the kids looking for from their mentors? He suggested they stop worrying whether they were qualified to mentor or whether the kids would like them. All that was required, Andrew explained, was to be present and to talk to them. Pranav said, "Andrew was right. He was asking us to affirm our shared values and find our voice. What Andrew was doing was asking us to re-examine the reasons we joined Young Storytellers. He wanted us to be vested in the organization's values, which included words like loyalty, commitment, passion, and patience. He wanted us to build a relationship with the kids by talking to them. The only way to make a unique difference in a kid's life was to find my own voice. I had to find my voice if I was to make an indelible impression upon my mentee." The lesson here is how Andrew gave Pranav and all of the other mentors time to rediscover how their personal values meshed with those of the organization. By telling them his story and why he was passionate about becoming a Young Storyteller's mentor, he helped them to find the words to express their unique reasons for caring about Young Storytellers, its mission, and especially the children they mentored. Andrew didn't tell them what to believe. He told them about his beliefs, asking them to find in their values their reasons for being involved with the organization. Through this reflection, they discovered their voices, finding the words necessary to reach kids like Rachel and help them develop their personal stories. You cannot lead through someone else's values or someone else's words. You cannot lead out of someone else's experience. You can only lead out of your own. Unless it's your style, your words, it's not you. It's just an act. People don't follow your position or your technique. They follow you. If you're not the genuine article, can you really expect others to want to follow? To be a leader, you've got to awaken to the fact that you don't have to copy someone else. You don't have to read a script written by someone else. And you don't have to wear someone else's style. Instead, you are free to choose what you want to express and the way you want to express it. In fact, you have a responsibility to your constituents to express yourself in an authentic manner, in a way that they would immediately recognize as yours. In thinking about expressing values authentically, Carrie Ann Austria, controller at Niantic, shared an analogy about making sure that what you put on fits with who you are. "What I mean," she explained, "is that when you go shopping, you can see something that you like, something that looks good, but you really have to try it on to see how it looks on you. Style isn't the only thing that matters. It must also fit the wearer. When you look at yourself in the mirror, you have to ask, 'Is this me?' In becoming an exemplary leader, ask yourself, 'Do the words sound right for me?'" Find commitment through clarifying values. Shandon Lee Fernandez, former senior research officer in the Consulate General of the Republic of Korea in Mumbai, told us that the first step toward exemplary leadership was discovering personal values and beliefs. This was critical, she reflected, because only when leaders discover and clarify what they expect of themselves can they expect others to follow. The more easily you can explain your actions and the reasoning behind them allows others to make a connection between the values and the path they need to take in their actions. Intrinsic cohesion results in external alignment. Shandon's insights are consistent with what Bernie Swain discovered after interviewing more than 100 of the eminent people he has represented as chair of the Washington Speakers Bureau. Leaders are self-aware. He says that highly successful leaders have an inner voice that they pay attention to. This insight provides them with an understanding of their strengths, their limitations, their biases, and their motivations. This understanding provides them with a deep well of energy and passion that they are constantly drawing upon throughout their lives in their quest to make extraordinary things happen. The results of our research clearly support these conclusions and further demonstrate how being clear about personal values makes a significant difference in how people behave in the workplace. In a series of studies over time and across a range of organizations, we asked managers about the extent to which they were clear around their personal values as well as the values of their organizations. They also indicated their level of commitment to the organization, that is, the extent to which they were likely to stick around and work hard. This set up a classic 2x2 experimental paradigm, consisting of 4 groups of people. 1 would be those who are not very clear about either their personal values or those of their organization. 2, those who are relatively clear about their organization's values but not very clear about their personal values. 3, those fairly clear about both personal and organizational values. And 4, those clear about their personal values but not very clear about the organization's values. People who are clear about their personal values are significantly more committed than either those who've heard the organizational litany but have never listened to their own inner voice, or the people who are not clear about their personal values nor those of their organization. What's even more revealing is that there are no statistically significant differences in commitment levels between those fairly clear about both personal and organizational values, and those clear about their personal values but not very clear about the organization's values. In other words, personal values drive commitment and are the means to increasing motivation and productivity. Results for job satisfaction, turnover intention, and organizational pride are similar to those found when asking about commitment levels. The most talented people, no matter their age, background, discipline, or function, gravitate to organizations where they can look forward to going to work each day because their values work in that organizational setting. The best employees are attracted to companies that align with who they are. Julie Sedlock, Senior Vice President for Aeropostale, echoes this observation. I love to come to work here. I can't think of a day in 20 years that I didn't want to wake up and go to work. She explains that when you share the company's values, you want to come to work, work hard, and achieve the goals that the organization has set. Commitment is strongest when based on alignment with personal values. People who are clearest about their personal values are better prepared to make choices based on principle, including deciding whether the principles of the organization fit with their own and whether to join up and stay or leave. In too many organizations, there is a huge gap between what the organization says is valued and the degree that employees believe they can apply those values to their everyday work. Affirm shared values. Leadership is not merely about your values. It's also about the values of your constituents. Just as your values drive your level of commitment to the organization, their personal values drive the degree of their commitment. They will be significantly more engaged in a place where they believe they can stay true to their beliefs. While clarifying your values is essential, understanding the values of others and building alignment around values that everyone can share is equally critical. Shared values are the foundation for building productive and genuine working relationships. Exemplary leaders honor the diversity of their many constituencies, but they also stress common values. They don't try to get everyone to be in accord on everything. That goal is unrealistic, perhaps even impossible. Moreover, to achieve it would negate the very real advantages of diversity. Nevertheless, leaders build on agreement. To take the first step, and then a second, and then a third, people must have some common core of understanding. After all, if there's no agreement about values, then what exactly are the leader and everyone else going to model? If disagreements over fundamental values continue, The result is intense conflict, false expectations, and diminished capacity. Leaders ensure that through the process of affirming shared values, everyone is aligned, uncovering, reinforcing, and holding one another accountable to what we value. Hillary Hall told us about how her manager helped people examine their values, which built a foundation of shared values that resulted in a spirit of camaraderie and common purpose. At General Electric, she was part of a multinational internal audit team, which consisted of a German, two Americans, a Belarusian, and an Indian. Before they even began the project assignment, the manager had them complete a questionnaire which covered topics such as where they grew up, favorite food, hobbies, and so on. There were also questions that dug a little deeper, asking about the type of work they liked and did not like, the role they usually played on teams, and what they respected in managers and teammates. The manager gathered the team together and they shared their responses. Thinking back on that experience, Hillary realized that he was doing what exemplary leaders do, affirming shared values. Our manager was aligning the team around a common set of values, both personal and professional, and showing the team what was important to him, too, she said. Team performance suffers when members do not align with common values. Individuals easily lose touch with one another and work according to their personal standards, resulting in uneven motivation and commitment toward common work goals. Research confirms these experiences. Organizations with strong corporate cultures based on a foundation of shared values outperform other firms by a huge margin. Their revenue and rate of job creation grow faster, and their profit performance and stock price are significantly higher. Matt Ryan, Starbucks' chief global strategy officer, substantiates this claim. We have successfully linked the percent of store partners in a given store who think we're living up to our values to the performance of that store. We're able to see a very distinct market improvement in the store's comp performance, that is, same-store sales. Controlling for all other variables when partners believe we're doing the right thing values-wise. These results make a significant difference to their bottom line. Similar findings apply to public sector organizations. Within the most effective agencies and departments, there are strong agreements and intense feelings among employees and managers about the importance of their values and about how those values are best implemented. Shared values make a significant and positive difference in work attitudes and commitment. In our studies, involving hundreds of organizations, we've shown that shared values foster heightened levels of motivation and intense feelings of personal effectiveness. They promote pride, high levels of company loyalty, lower turnover, and teamwork, and reduce levels of job stress and tension. Periodically taking the organization's pulse to check for values clarity and consensus is well worthwhile. It renews commitment. It engages the team and organization in discussing, clarifying, revising, and recommitting to values that are most relevant to a changing constituency, such as diversity, accessibility, sustainability, and so on. Richard Sasser, area manager for the aviation division of Austin Commercial, keeps a white coffee mug on his desk on which he has written his seven values. When people ask him about the words on his coffee cup, Richard always says, "Well, you asked." And then he told us how this leads to an opportunity to share my personal values and gets the other person to consider what matters most to them. In these conversations, we generally find ourselves in agreement about our shared values and the purpose behind what we are doing together. Once people are clear about the leader's values, about their own values, and about shared values, they know what the team's expectations are and feel that they can count on others. Consequently, they can work more productively, be more innovative, manage higher levels of challenge, and better handle often conflicting work-life balance issues. Give people reasons to care. While it's important that leaders forthrightly articulate the principles for which they stand, the values leaders espouse must be consistent with the aspirations of their constituents. Leaders who advocate values that aren't representative of the collective won't be able to mobilize people to act as one. There has to be a shared understanding of mutual expectations. Leaders must be able to gain consensus on a common cause and a common set of principles. Harmony among individual, group, and organizational values generates tremendous energy. It intensifies commitment, enthusiasm, and drive. People have reasons to care about their work, and because of that, they are more effective and satisfied, experiencing less stress and tension. As Courtney Bala recalled from her experience at Michael Kors with her associate Tracy, "By getting to know each other on a personal level, we identified our shared values and gave each person a reason to care about more than just ourselves. Morale increased significantly, and the store functioned better as a whole." Shared values are the internal compasses that enable people to act both independently and interdependently. Surveys reveal that people feel that organizations and their leaders should be spending more time talking about values with one another than they do now. Nicole Matouk was working with the Student Records Office at Stanford University's Law School when the associate dean asked for feedback about how things were going and what they could do to provide students with a more hassle-free experience. Nicole felt that everyone had the opportunity to speak out on the topics they felt strongly about, and all were given equal and ample time to express themselves without any pressure or fear of retribution. What she recalls most vividly is that while the associate dean asked many questions, she didn't have to struggle to think of the questions she wanted to ask, or how she would connect what we were discussing to our goals, because her values were guiding her questions. As we talked, I could tell she was leading me in a particular direction, but it didn't seem manipulative. This was so much more powerful to me than reading about the values in the school's handbook. I was generating the answers to her questions, so I felt this is what I believe, not just what I am supposed to agree with. Not only did this meeting help our team individually to generate answers that were in line with our values and the office's values, but it also helped us to affirm our shared values as an office. We came out of that meeting more united and with the knowledge that we were all working to achieve the same thing instead of pulling against each other for time and attention. Nicole's experience reaffirms that when people believe that their values and those of the organization align, they are the most loyal. The quality and accuracy of communication and the integrity of the decision-making process increase when people feel part of the same team. Our research, along with the findings of others, clearly reveals that when there's congruence between individual values and organizational values, there's significant payoff for leaders and their organizations. Conversations and discussions like those at the law school remind people of why they care about what they are doing. These exchanges renew commitment and reinforce feelings that everyone is on the same team, which is especially critical in geographically distributed workplaces. The resulting alignment between the leaders' and constituents' values enhances clarity of expectations. This transparency enriches people's ability to make choices, enables them to deal more effectively with difficult and stressful situations, and enhances their understanding and appreciation of the choices made by others. Conversations about values also enable people to find more meaning in their work. When you converse with your team members about their values, and when you facilitate a values conversation they can have among themselves, you are helping them to see how the work that they do connects with who they are. You are helping them to make a much deeper connection to work than can ever be realized through discussions of tasks and rules. You are also creating a context in which they can connect more deeply with each other. Forge unity. Don't force it. When leaders seek consensus around shared values, constituents are more positive and productive. You cannot mandate unity. Instead, you forge it by involving people in the process, making them feel that you are genuinely interested in their perspectives and that they can speak freely with you. For them to be open to sharing their ideas and aspirations, they have to believe that you'll be caring and constructive in searching for common ground. No surprise that people who report that their managers engage in dialogue regarding values feel a significantly stronger sense of personal effectiveness than individuals who feel that they have to struggle on their own to figure out what the priorities and principles are and how they're supposed to be behaving. Erica Long, Senior Human Resources, HR Manager at Procter & Gamble, started with the company as an intern and was immediately impressed with how leaders demonstrated their values and the core principles of the company in decisions they made. She says, "Leaders at P&G are constantly affirming these values. Anytime they are faced with a difficult decision, they will look to the PVP, the company's purpose, values, and principles, to guide their actions. I met with the director of sales for the Hong Kong and Taiwan regions. I asked him, how does he make sure he is always making the right business decisions? He said simply, I look to the PVP. It guides the way I do business. If I am put in a position that is in conflict with those guidelines, I simply don't do it." Erica says people who work at P&G are proud to say so, and everyone feels they are part of something special. Their core values align with those of the organization. People who are unsure or confused about how they should operate tend to drift, turn off, and eventually depart. The energy that goes into coping with and possibly fighting about incompatible values takes its toll on both personal well-being and organizational productivity. What are our core principles and what do we believe in are far from simple questions. One study reported 185 different behavioral expectations about the value of integrity alone. Even with commonly identified values, there may be little agreement on the meaning of values statements. The lesson here is that leaders must engage their constituents in a dialogue about values. A shared understanding of values emerges from a process, not a pronouncement. This was precisely Charles Law's experience at American Express when assigned to launch a marketing campaign with a team of six colleagues of different ethnicities and business functions. At first, progress was slow, as frequent conflicts drove down team morale. Each team member focused on his or her individual goals without considering the interests of others. Differences between them led to mistrust, and worse yet, according to Charles, because he had the least experience of anyone in the group, team members were skeptical about his leadership competency. Charles saw that the team needed to agree on a shared set of values in order to function well. He noted that it was not so important what they called or labeled a particular value, but rather that everyone agreed on its importance and meaning. One of his initial actions was to bring people together just for that purpose. They could arrive at common and shared understandings of what their top priorities and values were, and what these meant in action. He sat down and listened to each team member individually, then reported about everyone's opinions at their next group meeting. He encouraged open discussions and worked through any misunderstandings. The last thing Charles wanted them to feel was that he was imposing his values on them, so each person talked about his or her personal values and the reasoning behind them. In this manner, they were able to identify the values that were important to the group. Charles explained, "With a set of shared values created with everyone's consent, everyone strived to work together as a team toward success. Shared values created a positive difference in work attitudes and performance. My action made my colleagues work harder, emphasized teamwork and respect for each other, and resulted in better understanding of each other's capabilities to meet appropriately set mutual expectations." Charles understood that leaders can't impose their values on organizational members. Instead, they must be proactive in involving people in the process of creating shared values. Ownership of values increases exponentially when leaders actively engage a wide range of people in their development. Shared values are the result of listening, appreciating, building consensus, and resolving conflicts. For people to understand the values and come to agree with them, they must participate in the process. Unity is forged, not forced. Fervently shared values are much more than advertising slogans. They are strongly supported and broadly endorsed beliefs about what's important to the people who hold them. Constituents must be able to enumerate the values and have common interpretations of how to practice those values. They must know how their values influence how they do their jobs and how they directly contribute to organizational success. Marwa Ahmed, Senior Program Manager, Gas Operations at PG&E, Pacific Gas and Electric, told us how she clearly communicated her values to her team, and then she said, "I asked about their values and what they thought about the company values. From these discussions, we came up with the team's shared values. In my weekly meeting, I started a practice of telling a story about a personal situation where I applied my values either in my personal or professional life. After a couple of weeks, my team members started to share theirs, and in time, the alignment of people's personal values with the team values increased." A unified voice on values results from discovery and dialogue. Leaders must provide a chance for individuals to engage in a discussion of what the values mean and how what the organization stands for influences their personal beliefs and behaviors. Take action. Clarify values. The very first step on the journey to exemplary leadership is clarifying your values, discovering those fundamental beliefs that will guide your decisions and actions along the path to success and significance. That journey involves an exploration of the inner territory where your true voice resides. It's essential that you put yourself on this path because it's the only route to authenticity. Moreover, you must choose that path because your personal values drive your commitment to the organization and the purpose it serves. You can't do what you say if you don't know what you believe. Nor can you do what you say if you don't believe in what you're saying. Although personal values clarity is essential for all leaders, it's not enough by itself. That's because leaders don't just speak for themselves. They speak for their constituents as well. There must be agreement on the values that everyone will commit to upholding. Shared values give people reasons for caring about what they do, making a significant and positive difference in work attitudes and performance. A common understanding of shared values emerges from a process, not a pronouncement. Unity comes about through dialogue and debate, followed by understanding and commitment. Leaders must hold themselves and others accountable to the set of values they share. Model the Way begins with clarifying values by finding your voice and affirming shared values. This means you must, 1, identify the values you use to guide choices and decisions. 2, find your own authentic way of talking about what is important to you. 3, help others to articulate why they do what they do and what they care about. 4, provide opportunities for people to talk about their values with others on the team. 5, build consensus around values, principles, and standards. 6, make sure that people are adhering to agreed-upon values and standards. Chapter 4. Set the example. Steve Skarke readily admits that he was unprepared for the job when tapped to be the plant manager at Conoco Texas Corporation. After coming to grips with his values and what he believed the organization should stand for, he started homing in on how he could make a difference through his leadership actions. For example, over the years, the management team had been discussing a vision of becoming a world-class plant. They debated the defining characteristics of a world-class plant and agreed that a strong culture of safety and good housekeeping should be at the top of the list. Looking around, Steve could clearly see that the housekeeping conditions at Konica did not meet this ideal. In fact, whenever they had a pending customer visit, Steve would have to remind everyone to make an extra effort to clean up. This included sending people out to pick up trash in the plant, in the parking lot, and on the roads. Steve knew there had to be a way to make cleanliness part of their daily routine. While off-site after lunch one day, Steve stopped at a hardware store, bought a 2-gallon plastic bucket, and put the words, "World Class Plant," on its side. When he returned to the plant, he walked through it and started picking up trash. Soon his bucket was overflowing. He carried his bucket of trash through the main control room and, as everyone watched intently, emptied it into a trash can. Then he walked out the other door saying nothing. Word spread quickly that the plant manager was in the plant with a bucket, picking up trash. Each time Steve ventured out with his bucket, he made sure that it would be visible. It didn't take long for more buckets to appear, with other managers going out into the plant to pick up trash each day, setting the example for all to follow. Soon, whenever Steve walked through the control room, operators would ask how much trash he was able to find. When he had a full bucket, he would walk by the supervisor's office and hold it up for inspection. The process that Steve started by his hard-to-miss example soon became the norm. In addition to actual trash removal, Steve's actions started generating lots of discussion and new ideas about how they could make the job of cleaning the plant easier. To make debris collection easier, trash cans previously removed were placed back in central areas. The operations staff agreed to maintain them and came up with even more ideas to better organize their work areas. The maintenance technicians began carrying buckets around to keep parts in, along with trash containers to make cleanup quicker and easier. During this time, the plant launched a new program called My Machine, whereby each operator was assigned a piece of equipment to keep clean and learn about how it functioned to ensure its proper operation. By simply deciding to venture out and start picking up trash, Steve told us, I was modeling the way by aligning my actions with the shared value of having a clean plant. It also helped me to find my voice around this very important issue of housekeeping. I made it personal for everyone. In a short time, many others were setting the same example. Steve's story illustrates the second commitment of Model the Way. Leaders set the example. They take every opportunity to show others by their own example that they're deeply committed to the values and aspirations they espouse. No one will believe you're serious until they see you doing what you're asking of others. Either you lead by example or you don't lead at all. This is how you provide the evidence that you're personally committed. It's how you make your values tangible. In Chapter 2, we reported that our research has consistently revealed that credibility is the foundation of leadership. People want to follow a leader in whom they can believe. But what makes a leader credible? When people defined credibility behaviorally, they told us it meant do what you say you will do, or DWYSIWYG for short. This chapter on setting the example is all about the do part. It's about doing what you say, practicing what you preach, following through on commitments, keeping promises, and walking the talk. Being an exemplary leader requires you to live the values. You have to put into action what you and others stand for. You have to be the example for others to follow. And because you're leading a group of people, not just leading yourself, you also have to make sure that the actions of your constituents are consistent with the shared values of the organization. An important part of your job is to educate others on what the organization stands for, why these things matter, and how they can authentically serve the organization. As the leader, you teach, coach, and guide others to align their actions with the shared values because you're held accountable for their actions too, not just your own. In order to set the example, you need to live the shared values, teach others to model the values. In practicing these essentials, you become an exemplary role model for what the organization stands for, and you create a culture in which everyone commits to aligning themselves with shared values. Live the shared values. Leaders are their organization's ambassadors of shared values. Their mission is to represent the values and standards to the rest of the world, and it's their solemn duty to serve the values to the best of their abilities. People watch your every action, and they're determining if you're serious about what you say. You need to be conscious of the choices you make and the actions you take, because they signal priorities that others use to conclude whether you're doing what you say. The power of the leader's personal example can't be stressed enough. Researchers find that leaders who persist in attaining organizational goals, promote the organization to outsiders and insiders, and initiate constructive change in the workplace are much more likely to have direct reports who exhibit the same behaviors than leaders who don't set that kind of example. This effect is strongest when the leader is most visible to direct reports and considered to be a worthy role model. Research on behavioral integrity demonstrates quite clearly that the alignment between a leader's words and deeds has a powerful impact on how much constituents trust the leader and on their subsequent performance levels. Therefore, clarifying the values and performance expectations you have for yourself communicates to constituents what you are likely to expect of them. Setting the example is how leaders embody shared values and has the effect of teaching others to model the values themselves. Poonam Jatav's experience illustrates how true this research is. As credit manager with the Central Bank of India, she worked with two different managers, the first of which gave a very inspiring and motivating speech on the day he took charge, making it clear what he expected of everyone. However, the motivation and commitment of the team faded rather quickly because he did not practice what he preached. Branch staff experienced that he just preached values but did not follow them. They slowly stopped believing in him and then his messages. Not surprisingly, that manager didn't last very long. The subsequent bank manager was one who, Poonam explained, practiced exemplary leadership. He really set the example by being very committed to his values, work, staff, and organization. He was clear about his values, preached them, and followed them. He aimed to provide excellent customer service. If he saw that a customer was waiting for a long time because his staff was busy attending to other customers, he would walk up to the customer himself and ask how he could help them. His way of handling things made us more responsible and accountable for our actions. The same staff, demotivated by the earlier boss, was now more excited and enthusiastic to get the work done swiftly with high quality. Looking at his sincerity, commitment, and dedication, every staff member started giving more than 100% to their job. If you want to get the best results, make sure you practice what you preach. John Michel, author of The Art of Positive Leadership and a retired Air Force Brigadier General, has said, "Those who serve under an effective general know well that he or she would ask nothing of others that they would not first do themselves." He points to George Washington, first President of the United States and Commander-in-Chief during the American Revolutionary War, as an example. Despite the harsh winter conditions in 1777, and demoralized troops following a string of losses against the British in Philadelphia, the men never gave up. Why? John asks. It's largely because of the inspiring and unselfish example of their leader. He didn't ask the members of his army to do anything he wouldn't do. If they were cold, he was cold. If they were hungry, he went hungry. If they were uncomfortable, he too chose to experience the same discomfort. There's a consistent and dramatic relationship between the extent to which people trust their organization's management and the frequency that they find their leaders following through on promises and commitments. There's a six-fold increase in levels of trust between the bottom and the top of the range in the frequency to which people report their leaders do what they say they will do. The most significant signal-sending actions you can take to demonstrate that you live the values are how you spend your time and what you pay attention to, the language, words, and phrases you use, the way you handle critical incidents, and your openness to feedback. These actions make visible and tangible your personal commitment to a shared way of being. Each provides the chance to show where you stand on matters of principle. Simple though they may appear, you should remember that sometimes the greatest distance you have to travel is the distance from your mouth to your feet. Spend your time and attention wisely. How you spend your time is the single clearest indicator of what's important to you. Constituents use this metric to judge whether you measure up to espoused standards. Spending time on what you say is important shows that you're putting your money where your mouth is. Whatever your values are, they have to show up on your calendar and on meeting agendas if people are to believe they're significant. If you value service to others, for example, and say that store operators are important, you should be meeting with them in their locations. If you say that you're focused on customers, or clients, patients, students, voters, or parishioners, then you should be spending your time with them. If productivity and improving sales performance are critical, then you need to show up at sales meetings. If innovation is essential, you should be visiting the labs and participating in online open source discussions. Being there says more about what you value than any email, tweet, or video ever can. Abhijit Chitnis told us about his experience at Accenture working with a leader whose actions truly personified the values that he stood for and the extraordinary results his team achieved under such leadership. His 5-person team functioning out of Mumbai, along with a global team of 8 from Boston and Ireland, ran into some challenges completing a business intelligence system a client needed to issue its annual financial reports. To complete the engagement on time, they were going to have to put in extra work, missing New Year's plans with family and friends. When their senior client engagement delivery manager, who was already on vacation, heard about this, he canceled his plans and returned to work, even though he was not a part of this particular delivery team. He stayed with the team day and night for 2 days, sending a powerful message that he was committed to the team, the project, and the client. For Abhijit and his colleagues, their leader's actions substantially increased their personal levels of engagement and boosted the entire team's morale. We took each of the words from our leader very seriously because we believed in him and trusted him more, and because he showed us that he truly means every word that he says. All this happened because a leader put his values into practice and provided, says Abhijit, incredibly strong evidence of the importance of the idea of modeling the way. Leaders must set the pace in living in accordance with shared values. If they don't live the values themselves, they have no credibility when preaching them. Moreover, without credibility, the values become meaningless, no more than mere words on a page. Tyrone O'Neill, head of customer marketing at Optus Australia, took this understanding to heart and demonstrated not only how important it is to lead by example, but also how this enables others to live the values themselves. After years of stellar growth, Optus faced serious challenges as the industry was transforming. Charged with the job of significantly improving customer retention and engagement, Tyrone realized that a fundamental change was needed in the psyche and operating habits of the organization. At the heart of their design to accomplish that change was a clearly articulated and shared value of customer focus. However, because people were already incredibly busy, they weren't paying much attention to this new initiative. Therefore, Tyrone turned his attention to changing people's behaviors, starting with his own. Everyone on the team who was not in a customer-facing role was assigned a list of customers whom they were expected to call to conduct a customer satisfaction survey. One of his managers told us that everyone hated the phone calls at first, but Tyrone's actions helped change their perspective. Tyrone started calling and surveying customers himself, even after work hours. He would visit the call center and listen in on survey calls. He would discuss survey results with the call agents. He would go mystery shopping on the weekends to get a peek into what their frontline staff members were experiencing with customers on the ground. Then he would come back on Monday and share his reports with the team. Simply put, said one of his constituents, Tyrone led by example. He showed us how to put our value of customer focus into action. He got into the trenches with us and did everything he could to get as close to as many customers as possible, to know what they were thinking and feeling. He took matters into his own hands to solve the problems that he saw. The effect was that everyone wanted to get involved and mimic his behavior. Initially, we all had excuses for not making the calls or following through on other initiatives of the change program, but his personal crusade changed everything. Both Abhijit's and Tyrone's experiences underscore the importance of the golden rule when it comes to leadership. Only ask others to do something you are willing to do yourself. How leaders use their time shows others that they are serious about their dedication to the group, the task, and the values shared. You can't just talk the talk. You have to walk it, which often means rolling up your sleeves and being part of, not apart from, the action. Watch your language. Try talking about an organization for a day without using the words employee, manager, boss, supervisor, subordinate, or hierarchy. You may find this exercise nearly impossible unless you've been part of organizations that use other terms. Terms such as associates, crew, cast members, team members, partners, or even constituents. The corporate lexicon can easily trap people into a particular way of thinking about roles and relationships. Exemplary leaders understand and are attentive to language because they appreciate the power of words. Words don't just give voice to one's mindset and beliefs. They also evoke images of what people hope to create with others and how they expect people to behave. The words people choose to use are metaphors for concepts that define attitudes, behaviors, structures, and systems. Gary Hamel, one of the world's most influential and iconoclastic business thinkers, points out that the goals of management are usually described in words like efficiency, advantage, value, superiority, focus, and differentiation. Important as these objectives are, they lack the power to rouse human hearts. And leaders must find ways to infuse mundane business activities with deeper, soul-stirring ideals, such as honor, truth, love, justice, and beauty. How to use language consciously to reflect a unique set of values is understood clearly at DaVita. Their special language begins with the company name, an adaptation of an Italian phrase meaning giving life, which was selected by the DaVitans. That's what the company's employees call themselves. Every day, in every kidney dialysis clinic, DaVitans work hard to give life to those suffering from renal disease. At DaVita, memorable catchphrases infuse daily conversations and reinforce the company's values and management practices. The Three Musketeers maxim, one for all and all for one, for example, permeates the company's culture and reinforces the idea that everyone at DaVita is in it together, looking out for one another. Employees are all teammates. Be prepared to put a buck in a glass on the meeting table if you should ever use the E word. They refer to the company as the village. Teammates become citizens of the village when they are willing to cross the bridge and make a public commitment to the community. Every member of the senior leadership team crossed the bridge as part of their symbolic rite of passage into those roles. The company's slogan, GSD, Get Stuff Done, embodies their long-standing emphasis on execution and operational excellence. And the highest compliment to pay a teammate is to say he or she is good at GSD. Javier Rodriguez, DaVita's Chief Executive Officer, Kidney Care, says that a quick glance at their language can appear to be merely semantics or a play on words. He feels that it's quite the opposite. The words we use, while simple in nature, are packed with meaning. They create imagery and communicate history, traditions, and beliefs. Since the language is so pervasive in the organization, we get the added benefit of it serving as cultural alignment and an accountability acid test for behaviors. As in human medicine, an organ will reject inconsistent words and actions. Language clearly communicates a message beyond the literal meaning of your words and phrases. In their book, Words Can Change Your Brain, Andrew Newberg and Mark Waldman show that a single word has the power to influence the expression of genes that regulate physical and emotional stress. Positive words strengthen areas in the frontal lobes, promoting the brain's cognitive functioning and build resiliency. Conversely, hostile language and angry words send alarm signals to the brain as protection against any threats to survival and partially shut down the logic and reasoning centers in the brain. The language and words leaders use affect their self-images and people's responses to what's going on around them. They help build the frame around people's views of the world, so it's essential to be mindful of your choice of words. Frames provide the context for thinking and talking about events and ideas and focus the listener's attention on certain aspects of the subject. Frames influence how people view and interpret what's going on around them. For example, terms such as boss-subordinate, top-down, and rank-and-file put a hierarchical frame around a discussion about relationships in organizations. The words colleagues, teammates, and partners put a different, more collaborative frame around the same theme. Watch your language takes on an entirely new meaning from the times your teacher scolded you in school for using an inappropriate word. It's now about setting an example for others of how they need to think and act. Ask purposeful questions. When you ask questions, you send your constituents on mental journeys. Your questions choose the path that people will follow and focus their search for answers. The questions also let people know what is top of mind for you. If you were to ask, for example, what have you done today to partner with a colleague on getting the work done? You are sending a signal about the importance of collaboration. If, on the other hand, you were to ask, what have you done today to reduce the costs of doing business? You are sending a very different message. Both are legitimate questions, but they indicate very different priorities. Questions are one more tangible indicator of how serious you are about your espoused beliefs. Questions direct attention to the values that deserve attention and how much energy should be devoted to them. Questions develop people. They help people escape the trap of their mental models by broadening their perspectives and enlarging their responses by taking responsibility for their viewpoints. Asking relevant questions also forces you to listen attentively to what your constituents are saying. This action demonstrates your respect for their ideas and opinions. If you are genuinely interested in what other people think, then you need to ask their opinion, especially before giving your own. Asking what others think facilitates participation in whatever decision will ultimately be determined, and consequently increases support for that decision. When Joshua Frattenberg was brought on to turn around a foundering sporting goods store in Northern California, he realized that all employees needed to contribute to coming up with ways to improve sales. Josh openly sought advice, asking, "What do you think the store is doing well? What do you feel we need to work on?" He never criticized an idea, instead choosing to ask follow-up questions that might allow for a more productive thought. Josh encouraged his staff to offer suggestions about merchandising, sales promotions, and inventory. For example, although most of his staff ranged from 15 to 18 years of age, he asked each to go to the product wall and select which skis or snowboard they wanted. Then he had them pick out their bindings and boots. After giving them a few minutes to make their decisions, Josh asked them what they were thinking about when they were deciding. He asked them to close their eyes and envision what it would look like to use the new gear. Feel the cold, hear the wind whistle, smell the fresh mountain air. His questions got them thinking about how most people made an emotional rather than a technical purchase decision. As all exemplary leaders do, Josh used focused questions to reframe the staff's thinking and their approach to sales. Think about the questions you typically ask in meetings, one-on-ones, telephone calls, and interviews. How do they help to clarify and gain commitment to shared values? What would you like each of your constituents to pay attention to each day? Be intentional and purposeful about the questions you ask. When you are not around, what questions should others imagine you are going to ask them when you return? What evidence do you want to ask for that shows how people are making decisions consistent with values? What questions should you ask if you want people to focus on integrity or on trust or on customer satisfaction or on quality, innovation, growth, safety, or personal responsibility? Here are a few sample questions that you could purposefully ask every day to demonstrate the importance of a few shared values. Teamwork.